We're at the end of June. Most children, that will mean participating in their school sports day, the sack race, the egg and spoon race. Remember all of that kind of stuff? Three-legged race, make up what's meant to be a fun day competition. But one writer in the Irish Times says the competitive element should be dropped. Jen Hogan suggests that nobody needs the humiliation that comes with being known as the boy or girl who is always last. The commentator Simon Waugh is with us. Morning, Simon.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the Irish Mirror columnist Siobhan O'Connor. Good morning, Siobhan.
Morning, Stephen.
So no one needs, Siobhan, the humiliation of coming last.
Yes, I was always that child who came last, and I still vividly remember it. And all year, they don't train you in the egg and spoon. And people say, oh, it's just an egg and spoon. It's actually a really hard race to do. And I always remember that feeling of utter humiliation when you came last. And it still sits with me now. Because all through the year, you're not training in it. And you're not actually, you know, working towards any of the races that you're in. In PE, they don't do any of this stuff. So if you're the last child in the race, like Jen Hogan suggests, I think, you know, there's kind of room for taking away that competitive nature of it. Because it really...
The competitive nature of it is part of the fun of it.
No, it's not, Stephen. It's really awful if you're that child who is the one to fail in it. And you still remember it as an adult.
Well, what's the point? Still remember school sports day as an adult?
Coming last.
Really?
Yeah, it's awful. And, you know, I mean, why can't they do little activities during the year that aren't competitive?
So you want a race that's not a race?
Yeah, I just don't... I think they should, like, get rid of them completely and make it more fun.
Well, where does this end? So if a race isn't a race, then an exam isn't an exam, because some people will get fewer marks than others. Then, you know, you can't say someone's taller than someone else. You can't say someone's... Like, where does this end?
But, Stephen, it's not...
You can't ask for a bigger apple. They've all got to be the same size. Is this not ludicrous?
But
this is life.
But no, I just think it's awful. And, you know, why can't it be fun for the kids as opposed to, you know... I mean, I do really, like, absolutely believe that kids need to be active and they need to get out there and enjoy themselves. And, you know, definitely, I'm a personal trainer, so sport and everything is very important. But say if you're not the sporty kid, I was always the more into the dance.
You then learn that you can't win at everything, and losing is not a bad thing. That's part of learning. That if you come last, it doesn't mean you're a failure. It means you can't run as fast. That's part of learning and growing up.
But why isn't there a dance element in the sports day? Why is it just sports? What about the kids who aren't into...
Because it's a sports day. It's not a dance day. It's not a yoga day. It's a sports day.
But they don't do any dance or yoga days. They don't do anything for the creative people. Well, and that, you know, it's still like, if you're not sporty, you know, you really feel excluded on that day. And
Simon,
I just think, I welcome Jen's article.
Well, no one is setting out to humiliate anyone. You know, no one's setting out to make them feel embarrassed. And the incentive to win, I think, comes naturally to the vast majority of us human beings. It's built into our DNA. And I think that competitive element often spurs children on. And if you allow them to opt out at a young age, if you say to the children, look, we're having the sports, whatever it happens to be, swimming, whatever, you can opt out if you want to. Well, that's it forever in life. Stephen, a few years ago, I did a film for the Channel 4 called That'll Teach Them. And we had a very competitive sports day. And a few of the girls came to me, because I was the headmaster, and they said, look, we don't want to participate. We don't do that at school. They allow us just to sit and watch. I said, well, I'd like you, please, to get changed and have a go. One of the girls who came to me, who said she didn't want to participate, actually won. And I've kept in contact with her.
Yeah, but if she hadn't have won, Simon, then that feeling of losing is what Siobhan says stays with you for too long.
Well, I think competition is healthy for the most part, and it's not just about winning and losing. You know, competitive sports helps you to work as a team, you know, respect your teammates and your opponents. It's not just about running. But I just like swimming at school. Had I had the option, I would definitely not have participated if someone hadn't made me. And I'm so glad.
I hated the swimming when you had to get out and you were freezing.
Well, but that's part of the fun, really. You were cold.
You know, When nobody picked you, you know, when nobody picked you, like when nobody picked me for the sports day because I was always the slow one. I mean, you know, why can't they do other things that aren't just sport? You know, why does it have to be one sports day once a year that we don't even work towards? We were never even taught how to hold the egg and spoon. We were never even taught how to get into the sack. And I always remember, like, kind of stumbling into the sack and not being able to quite fit it on. And, oh, it was absolutely mortifying. I mean, if they try to work towards it and teach it during the year about these things, but our school wasn't doing sports much during the year. And then suddenly they land you with this big competitive element at the end and you're supposed to be brilliant.
Well, that depends how the school manages it. When I was a housemaster, I had some children who disliked running, particularly sprinting against each other. And I made sure that they were given an opportunity to do some other race. For instance, long distance running. Did anyone ever encourage you, perhaps, to say, to do a couple of laps? Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You see, I think you're probably right there. You're probably a good headmaster. Maybe I went to a rubbish school.
I tried to get them to situations where they ran against people who were about as good as them. So I would get them to do a couple of laps against three or four others who weren't particularly fast. And actually, as I said at the start of this, the last thing you want to do is to humiliate children. But if you say to children, look, you're not very good at this, therefore we're going to allow you just to hold the tape or to sit and watch or to make cups of tea, without even trying, I think we're selling children short. You know, if you don't do it, if at school you're allowed to opt out, I know how children operate. I've been a teacher for goodness knows how long, and I know some will try and not participate if they can get away with it, and I don't think that's good for them.
Well, the other thing, the other side of the coin is, Simon, a lot of our teaching is antiquated because, you know, we're not teaching children in schools about emotional intelligence. We're not teaching them about other areas of life. We're expecting them all to be academic and all to be sporty. But, I mean, we're sort of missing the bigger picture. Kids are good at other activities, but not just like sports related. They could be good at the artistic activities. And I just feel that there's definitely a space in schools to nurture that as well.
Well, they do. I mean, things like drama and things. I always say to children, look, you don't have to be good at sport. Just give it a go. It doesn't matter if you come last because you could excel on the stage or you could be good at creating things in the design technology department. That's a good school. We'll find something that fits in, that's mutually compatible with each of those pupils. But as far as sport's concerned, they say mens sana in corpore sano, you know, healthy mind and healthy body. We seem to be losing the battle against childhood obesity. So I think regular, pretty strenuous exercise is good for children. And I think it's a danger for expecting them to opt out. As I say, for school to put you in a 100-meter race with against natural sprinters, I think that you ought to, you know, that the PMAS himself ought to be questioned. That's not how to do it. You know, if you do an 18-meter dash, it should be in a race with people of similar sporting prowess as you. That's incumbent on the school.
Yeah.
Let me bring Paul and Tandra Gee in. Morning, Paul. Say there, Siobhan. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Stephen. How's things?
Go ahead, Paul. You were the kid at the back, were you?
I was that kid at the back. I was that person. I remember P6 at sports day in school. I practiced and practiced and practiced. I was determined to come home with a badge, and I finished second last. I actually started crying, and there was one other kid's parent came up to me, and they were very stern with me. What are you crying about? And I just said, I practiced, and I failed, and I came second last. He says, no, you didn't. You participated. And that stuck with me my whole life because you're not good at everything, but what it does is it's the taking part. And as that gentleman said, is it's being part of a team, it's being part of something. He says, you know, you've done more than all the parents here that are sitting here drinking tea watching you. So going on from that, I do distance running, I've done triathlons, I've done marathons. I came within the last 20 of the Belfast Marathon, but I still did the Belfast Marathon. But if I had taken that defeatist attitude, I wouldn't have accomplished that. And at the end of the day, the person you're running against is yourself. And what it does teach you is prioritising your life. what you're good at. You'll realise you're not good at everything. What you do is you make a good effort at what you're at everything, and you'll find what you are good at, and you'll thrive at that. So I think, yes, you could have maybe like a participation medal for kids nowadays, because we do live in a different generation where, you know, feelings hurt a lot more. But I still think the first, second, third, and everybody's awarded or recognised for their participation is the way to go. But to take the competition out, I think that sets a very, very bad precedent for 20 years down the line.
That's a really good idea, to give them all a medal. I think that's brilliant. Everyone should get a medal.
But learning how to lose is important. To learn how it feels to fail. I think a little bit of failure is good for you. You know, it's like going for a job. We've all been for jobs. And you've been turned away and said, look, I'm afraid this job isn't for you. And to have
that, they're children. They're children, though. I mean, they I love the idea of participating and everyone kind of feeling like a winner, no? Because that feeling of being the last one and the worst one and the one not being picked has still stayed with me. And, you know, I think it's important to encourage them all to get active, but why can't they all get a little medal at the end of it, Simon?
Well, I don't. That's how life works. I think, you know, win or lose, your life, it'll never pan out as you'd like it to. We're always going to have to try things we wouldn't naturally take to. And I think competitive sport and not getting a medal can help prepare you for life's many hurdles, if you excuse the pun.
It's just sad, though, that the teachers in the school don't sort of prepare you for that final race of the year. I mean, I don't know, in your school, you've obviously trained them, but all year we weren't taught anything to do with this race, and then we're landed in it, and, you know, we've got to perform. I just think it's unfair on kids.
Well, look, you know, as a teacher, I always had children. They disliked sport. They were reluctant to compete. I had them every year. And I was careful to manage these pupils without allowing them to opt out. That's the point. They had to participate. And children are enormously resilient. You know, we sort of, I've said it before, we seem to sort of wrap our children up with this thick tog duvet of endearment. And actually, you know, they are resilient. And I think that if they learn early on that even if they come last, you know, it's no disgrace, because there are certain things that I can't do. There are certain things that you can't do. You know.
But there was never dance in my school, and I went on to do ballet for 25 years. Like, why can't they foster, you know, other areas of activity, not just this egg and spoon as well at the end of the year, and we're all supposed to be brilliant at this?
Well, I presume that's the responsibility. If they don't do dance at the school, why didn't your parents spot that talent? Couldn't they have given you that opportunity?
Oh, I did do it outside of the school, but I'm just saying that...
A school can't provide every facility going, can it? I mean, I would say that...
They sort of assume that everyone wants to do sport.
Let me squeeze in Jim and Portadown just before the news. Morning, Jim.
Hi there.
We've got 1 minute, Jim.
Stephen, I was always last in the race, and it never really bothered me. Yes, it bothered me at the time, but look, everybody has a talent that they've got in life, and you can't just do away with sports day and do away with competitions so that some people who don't have the talent of running or athleticism, they say to them, oh, well, we don't want you feeling a bit left out. That's not fair for people who are sporting. You know, they have the right to exercise their talent as much as I do my talents, which aren't anything to do with running.
All right. Listen, we've got to leave it there because the news is coming up next. Siobhan and Simon, thank you very much.